In the Big Show, Friday from 3 to 6 at Supply Link. 576 West, 800 South in Bountiful. Question of the morning. Utah's flying high, BYU's in the dumps, and USU has to find a way to beat Boise State. What else is there to say? Utes! Florida lifestyle, but back in Utah, tweets at us, go Jazz?
In about 10 days, for sure.
Count it down, 23rd, circle it.
Yeah.
22nd, actually, for the start of the NBA. Jazz open on the 23rd.
Correct.
Got a TNT doubleheader to kick things off, and then the next night it's full go. You can answer the question right now, what else is there to say, by calling 855-340-ZONE. Hit us up on Twitter, David DJ James. Grab your phone. Use the app. Use the open mic. Send us your take. Brian says Weber State won. You can add that, guys. Beat Southern Utah.
Okay.
Kind of expected that. They got it done. Frank says, why would the Utes be so happy? It's not November yet. So the big choke hasn't happened yet. It will. USU will be fine. The Cougars, well, it's back to just trying really hard and doing the best they can. He spelled big choke, chalk, C-H-O-C-K. And if you don't think Ute fans went nuts on him on Facebook for that.
The big choke? I saw that movie, man. Was it back in the 90s? Joe Beth Williams?
Ah, the big chill.
Oh.
The big choke. Dude, you literally choked while spelling choke. Hilarious.
This is a phenomenal week for Utah, man, because they can really set themselves apart and they can go a long way toward winning this thing and being way up in the ranking.
You had that driver's seat stat, right? Oregon is firmly in control in the North.
For sure.
Everybody else got two losses. They're playing Washington this week. It's actually a big game. If Washington wins, it'd be a game back. They have the tiebreaker. Maybe they get some help and they win the division. If Oregon wins, it feels like it's over.
Agreed.
It's weird to punch somebody's ticket in mid-October to go to the conference title game, but Oregon, punch your ticket.
This is what they've wanted for the conference for years and years. They wanted dominant teams.
Right.
Well, now they've got to.
Oregon will be right there. In the South, there's four teams at 2-1. And the Utes are the only one that needs help. But if the Utes win and Arizona beats USC, then hello, driver's seat.
Oh, they're already in the driver's seat. SC's not going to go. SC has to play Oregon.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Schedule breaking your way, baby.
Right. And they're not beating Oregon. So
just take care of business and you'll be fine.
So that's the thing that you, in the best scenario, you'd like to beat ASU, but not beat them too bad because you want them to be a good team because they play SC.
Aha!
And they play SC at home.
They can help you out.
Exactly. And the last thing you need to gain any stature is to have Utah just blow through all these teams because that doesn't look good for the conference. You need some other teams out there. I mean, this is a battle of two ranked teams. And it's hyped a little bit. You know, the Devils aren't top 10.
Nobody in the conference is. Oregon's.
But they're 12. Ranked, and Herm gets them a ton of publicity. HBO has this thing that they're doing for college, the Hard Knocks, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'll clean it up to an extent. But they come in after the game, after the thrilling Washington State win, and Herm says, can I take this thing off now? Because he's been mic'd the whole time. Yeah. And that's going to air here. I don't know when. I don't get HBO, but somebody gets it. Give me a copy. I'd like to see it. He brings a ton of. As he wins, he'll gain credibility, but even without winning, a ton of publicity. Now you combine the credibility with the publicity, and you know maybe they're on to something there in the desert. And we'll see in the coming weeks and years how it plays out, because every one of their coaches that they fired, they've all had a good season or two. It's not about a good season or two. It's about maintaining a program. So you want teams in the South to be good because that only enhances your legitimacy when you beat them. So I don't think they want a 52-7. It sounds good, but that then people look at that team and it's not that good. So you want to beat them, obviously, but maybe, you know, don't 30-23 or something like that. I don't know. I'm just picking a score and then have them beat SC. But right now, yeah, if I had to bet, I would put a lot of money on Oregon, Utah in Santa Clara, December 5th. In my mind, those are the odds on favorites to be playing in that. And I like that because they didn't play in the regular season. That's sort of cool in that way. You don't have anything to judge it on against each other. And plenty of
as
other
opposed
stuff.
To the rematch,
yeah,
which
yeah,
is
yeah.
so frequently is
right.
It was last year.
Yeah, it just it would be unique in have the two teams that didn't play each other get an opportunity to play each other. That would be cool. I would.
Well,
like
they're 12
that.
And 13 now. By then, maybe that could be a top 10 showdown and all that stuff. And
that would be best for the conference.
For
yeah. So you want to beat those teams, but then you want those other teams that you beat, particularly who we perceive as contenders. To be okay. I don't really think we perceive Arizona as a contender.
No, and watching Washington just slice through that defense. Mm-hmm. That was they were just scoring five second half touchdowns.
And the defense for Washington played pretty well.
Yeah.
So that we don't it doesn't mean Arizona couldn't beat the Utes in the end of next month, but I don't think we view them as a contender. So there's basically two teams that they're competing with. They've lost to one. I think they get this one here. And then they can really set themselves up. If I'm Utah, man, I'm flying high. I don't know how you can argue with you're not flying high. And if you're BYU, you're down in the dumps right now. You are in the crapper.
Three straight losses.
Yeah.
Coming from ahead in the last two. Had double digit. I had a 9-point lead, I guess. Late. Had double digit earlier. They're up 13.
Well, you've been outscored 27-0 in the fourth quarter in the last two games.
So that doesn't work.
No. That's awful. There's no other way to say it. If I could spin it positively, I would, because I like those guys who comprise the coaching staff. And we all know BYU fans, and I like most of them, not all of them. I would like to be able to bring you better news, but I don't know that I can. And you're going to play Saturday night, and they're predicting rain and snow at 8:15, so it'll start at 8:30 with a third-team quarterback. I would love to paint a better picture than that, but that doesn't sound too good. And maybe Bruckmeyer won't play himself, but still, obviously, Boise would be expected to win that game. These are dark times right now. There's no other way to say it. Brings me no pleasure to say that.
But there's no other storyline when you're sitting on a three-game losing streak and messing up big leads.
I would ask any Cougar fan, for years and years, I have brightened your morning. I'm going to ask you to brighten my morning. Give me one good thing we can say about BYU. Get on our app. One good thing. Come up with one good thing we can say about BYU. I'd like to hear it. Because right now, I'm struggling.
You were talking last week about how we always do this. We get into the whole, oh, no, they're not going to win again. Are you there now? You're struggling? Because you still had some optimism. And I'm sure there are Cougar fans who are dreading exactly what happened.
Well, I didn't know that they were going to be down to the third-team quarterback last week. If I would have known, that probably would have slanted my opinion a little more negatively. But those are the facts that you're dealing with. So I can't respond to think that, wow, this is good news. Any Cougar fan, if you got anything, let me hear it, because then I can regurgitate it back to the masses. But right now, I got nothing.
855-340-ZONE. Positive Cougar prompts. That's what PK is looking for.
I'd like to hear some. What are we looking at? You know, Hall showed a little bit. I was excited for his debut. And up until that point, you know, he did okay. You're going to get better the more you play, obviously. But now, you know, he smacked his head. We all saw it. And usually they don't come back the next week. You know, Slovis got hit, and he missed two ball games, right?
They had the bye week built in there, so he was gone quite a while.
Yeah, well, BYU didn't have any bye weeks right now. They got to play Boise this week. Next week's another story, but they got to play Boise now. So what do you got? Have you given up hope? Is it hopeless? And then you can go on all this other stuff. You know, what's the problem? How can the problem be fixed? You can change coaches all you want. Go ahead, change coaches. Fire them all. Good. Good for you.
You still have your third string quarterback.
Well, not just that. I mean, you got all sorts of issues that go beyond the actual players. You know, you're not willing to pay top going rate. Reno Mahe went on Twitter and talking about how they had, in his day, guys like himself and Derwin Gray got let into school, and apparently they're not letting those types of kids in school anymore. So you've got those things going on. All sorts of issues. They're in no man's land. But be very careful. I'm writing about this week, about that this week. I've been doing it last night. Since Utah joined the conference in 2011, guess how many head coaches have been in the South, excluding Utah? So the other five teams.
The other five, I would say, I was going to say 15, and then I thought that's probably too low because I think some of these schools have had more than three, but I think they've all had three.
Well, I had three, one has had four.
Oh, so it's 16.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
SC. Yep. And meanwhile, Whittingham's plotted along here, and look where they are. Look where everybody else is. So change coaches. Change coaches all you want. Go ahead. Bring in a whole batch of new coaches. Good. Get in that vicious cycle. That seems to work real well.
Put yourself in the spin cycle.
Yeah.
855-340-ZONE. Dave, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Dave.
Got a positive for you, PK.
Okay, Dave.
The Cougars uniforms are really clean.
What does that mean?
The all whites?
They're just not tackling. They're not getting dirty. Oh. So the positive is they're saving on laundry.
Okay. They're saving on laundry. They're flawed in their tackling, and they're not getting dirty. That's a positive. A
few grass stains on the back where they've been pancaked, but, you know.
Can anybody top that?
855-340-ZONE. Make the magic happen, you know, so to speak.
Yeah. I should have trademarked that.
Dang. You really should have.
Suck. I could be your boss right now.
You could be somewhere where it's 78 degrees and you're golfing. Just follow the sun. Just get your sticks and follow the sun.
Not yet. That'll come in time, but not now. Too young for that. Got to think about at least being 62 before you start thinking about that. I'm a ways to go before that.
BYU, what goes around comes around. How about that?
What?
Well, it's college football. You're down, you're up. How many teams get down and stay down? Okay, Kansas.
How many teams get up? I think very few teams get up. So just because you're down doesn't mean you're going to get up. Most of these teams are down, and they're always down.
Kansas, Indiana. Duke was down, they're up.
You can have a moment.
Right now, BYU fans would take that.
That's not being up.
Have one moment before you figure out how to have the second and the third.
Yeah, I think actually most of them are just sort of running in place. There's a whole
not,
lot of
not
mediocrity.
Up or down, right. Yeah, yeah, but there's a lot of teams. When it's all said and done, there's going to be a lot of teams between 5-7 and 7-5.
Yeah. Maybe you can squeeze in eight, you know, if you're
allowed to schedule
right.
Money games, and yeah, especially if you're in the ACC or the SEC and you get four non-conference games
right.
to load up on.
Right, right, right. You can do that, and you can pretend that you're up. I mean, Broncos was getting a lot of run in Virginia. Who was it? Louis Riddick on Twitter. You know, you've never seen a program better run. Blah 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 blah, and then they go out and lose to Miami.
Oops.
And they're 4-2.
Yeah. They're undefeated again, run, and yeah. Notre Dame got them.
Yeah, they're okay. But are they really that good? Are they really challenging for anything that matters? No.
The ACC Coastal Division title.
Yeah, okay.
I know. And then the right to get blasted by
and that's
Clemson.
One of the better teams in that conference.
Yeah.
So how many teams that conference? I can't, 'cause they got
14.
So yeah, and so what do you got? 10, 11, 12, 13 of them just sort of running in place. And that's the reality of college sports. is most of them aren't going anywhere. Same thing with the Pac-12.
Yeah, well, we're tailgating, though, aren't we? How those brats looking?
Yeah, and that's fine. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
Enjoy the experience. That's why if I'm a Ute fan, I don't get why I would be hesitant to just revel in the moment. If you lose, you lose. It's a football game. But enjoy it. Yeah, enjoy the opportunity to go with that food that you bring and you have a fun time leading up to the game and enjoy the game. If they win, celebrate and have a great time. Do it responsibly, of course, but do that. And this is your moment, because I don't know that you're much different than any of these other programs. You're having your day right now, but is your day going to last into a week, metaphorically? By that, I mean next year. Are you going to be picked to win next year? Probably not. So jump up and down now, because you're going to win. You're 12.5-point favorite, man, over the what is, I could argue, is the second-place team now. What are you going to be the rest of the way? You're going to be favored big time, with the exception possibly of Washington. But I don't believe you need to win that game to win the division.
Cal with the quarterback injury. Oh, and really? You're thinking 7-2 is going to win it?
Even? I do.
USC's not just going to lose once, they're going to lose twice.
I think 7-2 very well could win it for Utah. But I'm not conceding the Washington game either.
And I get that. But that is the Rocky uphill speech you love. Is that 7-2? Is SC really going 6-3? They might. The Pac-12 is crazy. And you're right. Circle Oregon. They're going to be the underdog. Maybe they'll find a way to get it done. Maybe Oregon will be like the Auburn game and they'll just mess the thing up. That's kind of frustrating for the Pac-12. Man, that game was there for the taking. They could be 6-0 and really be the team in the conversation, blah, blah, blah. Messed it up.
Okay, is Georgia out of the running now?
No, of course not. SEC, you always get a mulligan. Pac-12, you don't get the mulligan.
Well, then why worry about it? If you don't get it, if you never get it, why worry about it?
Could have been 6-0. It's like you said, you want that team
and
for
they
the
would
Utes
be
to
ranked
take
7th if they were 6-0.
Probably, yeah.
So what are they going to get there?
Maybe 8th.
So what are they going to get there?
It'd just be a team for the Utes to play that's all that you could take down.
Oh, I think 2-11-1 teams are all that.
Yeah, and they can be 7th and 8th if they can if they can both run the table and get there.
Right.
So you figure SC does have 2 losses.
I do. Yeah. I do, yeah.
Two more.
But I don't know that Utah's losing, but I think SC has 2 more losses in them. Yes.
Because if Utah can run the table and get to 8-1, they'll get the help they need. I don't think you have to worry about that. If they're
I'm not
7
worried
or 2,
about it at all.
If the Utes do get beat once, and it probably would be in the next 3 weeks, not in the last 3 games. Or next 3 games, not the last 3 games.
I got you.
They got a bye week in there, I think.
They do.
The double bye week keeps throwing me off.
Second week of November, they're off.
All right, we got Gary Anderson coming up. Utah State football coach. He's coming off a bye week. He's getting ready for a Nevada team that's all over the place. They score a lot of points, but they give up a lot of points, too. We'll talk with him next on 97.5 and 1280 The Zone.
And now, attention. Top of the Wire on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Utah Jazz are back in action tonight against the Sacramento Kings. Preseason game starts at 7 o'clock, Vivint Smart Home Arena. No TV for this one, but you can listen to the game on the Zone Sports Network. Pregame coverage starts at 6 o'clock. David Locke on the call at 7. NFL football tonight, Lions and Packers kicks off at 6:15 on ESPN. You can listen to the game on the Zone Sports Network. Game will be on 1280 The Zone while the Jazz are on 97.5 The Zone. And Major League Baseball, it's the Nationals and Cardinals. Steven Strasburg on the mound for Washington, trying to give them a 3-0 lead in the NLCS. American League is off today. They play Game 3 at Yankee Stadium tomorrow. Top of the Wire is brought to you by Ken Garf Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. The savings are on at Ken Garf West Valley Ram. Stop by the dealership during Ram Power Days and take advantage of special offers on select new models. Whatever you're looking for, they'll have it at West Valley Ram.
Take the Zone with you wherever you go.
Let's go.
Download the all-new Zone Sports Network app on your phone and get live streaming of the Zone as well as podcast editions of every show. From from Salt Lake to Shanghai, Provo to Portugal, or Ogden to Oslo, wherever you go, we'll tag along.
Let's go.
Download the new Zone app by searching Zone Sports Network wherever you shop for apps. It's the Zone Sports Network app from 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
DJ and PK brought to you in part by Diamond Airport Parking. Fantastic rates, free car washes, 24-7 shuttle services, detail oil changes, and glass repair while you're away. Diamond Airport with the best rewards program in Utah. Only airport valet service in Utah. Park, ride, and save just off I-80 and Redwood Road. That's Diamond Airport Parking. Gary Anderson, Utah State coach, going to join us in just a minute. His guys are 22-point favorites. The Utes are 12.5-point favorites. I got to admit, I'm a little surprised it's that big. I thought it was going to be 6 or 7. I'm also a little surprised that, given the fact that Boise State's undefeated, they're only 5.5-point favorites over BYU.
I'd agree with that.
Now, they do have a quarterback situation, so I guess I was surprised there was a line at all until that got announced who was quarterbacking. Bachmeier, it looked like a hip injury, and he was having problems just standing up and walking. He kind of buckled and went to the ground there on the sideline.
Oh, I wouldn't think he would play. It's a non-conference game.
I'm with you. And yeah. I would think the way he looked on the sideline,
yeah,
he thought, because they had shots of him. He came back out after in the second half after he changed, and they had shots of him standing there. And he looked like a guy who wasn't really happy, like he knew, okay, this is a bad deal.
Yeah, well, I don't really have any – I mean, I have sympathy for the kid, but not
as far
for the
as
team.
The team. Have a backup quarterback, yeah. Be ready to
if
go.
You don't have a backup quarterback, that's on you.
They played three guys in that game. They were already playing two. They got a guy they like to use as kind of a running quarterback.
Yeah, well, I don't really – he's just a little change of pace guy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go with the Cord kid.
Cord.
He's going to be their guy.
And he came in and played pretty well.
He's a redshirt sophomore. He's been in the program for a few years now.
He tore his ACL and
– last year.
Had to sit out.
Yeah, so – I don't know. How he much also is,
and he also ran and took shots. I mean, he was just,
so. You, I always know the games you watch because you expound on them in great detail.
Well, if I didn't watch it, I don't have as many details to expound on. I mean,
I know,
kind of, you know.
But there's like 25 right. games to choose from, and I always find it. But you're a Mountain West dude.
I
so you hone in on the Mountain West.
It is easy for me to watch the Mountain West, but I paid attention because I haven't watched a lot of Boise this year. I don't know why. And they're playing BYU next.
Well, look at you.
So there you
That's
go.
That's nice.
Huh?
All right. Go ahead. The floor is yours. Tell us all about Boise, buddy.
Cord took a stunning number of shots in that game. He was looking for contact. But he threw it pretty well, too.
All right.
He played well. So, to your point, you're supposed to have a backup quarterback, and it looked like Hawaii's defense, maybe not all that. But
no.
The way teams are running the ball against BYU, the quarterback's job is going to be to hand the ball off and let them run the ball against BYU.
Well, how's Boise's running back?
Good enough the way BYU's going.
Is he?
Yeah.
Who the hell is he?
I don't know. Off the top of my man, I cannot handle that pop quiz.
Because I think they've had a 1,000-yard rusher for something like 8 years in a row.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it's more than a decade.
They're not.
Is it over? Is it 10?
Holani. 10. I couldn't remember Holani. He scored the
George Holani.
Yeah, he scored a good touchdown getting to the pylon there. But neither one of their backs has 400 yards. They're splitting times with he and Robert Mahone. So there you go.
You looked it up.
I did now, yes. They're both averaging 5 yards a carry, which, you know, if you're BYU's run defense, that could be a problem.
That's an oxymoron.
BYU's run defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, BYU's run lack of defense or something like that. If you're on Twitter this morning, you've seen hands showing BYU guys getting pushed back into the end zone there. So
I haven't.
Yeah, you can run whatever scheme
but
you want.
But I already
want.
Know. I don't guys need to
get,
see it.
Guys get pushed back into
I
the end zone.
I saw it live.
You saw it live? Guys getting pushed back into the end zone?
I've seen it several times now live. It's obvious. It's as bad as it's been.
It's usually been the secondary we've obsessed about, and the front seven's been fine.
Well, yeah, but...
but not this year.
But maybe if the run defense was fine, the secondary would be struggling, but why throw it?
Yeah.
I don't know how the
back
good,
to my point about
bad
whoever,
the secondary is.
Whoever quarterbacks hand off to one of those two running backs, and they'll alternate those guys. And
right. Until they stop that, there's no need to throw it.
Right.
And it doesn't look like they're going to be stopping that anytime soon.
DJ and PK, it's 97.5 and 1280 The Zone. We're joined now by Gary Anderson, Utah State football coach. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, man. How are we doing?
Good. Do you sleep in, get up, good, and watch about 12 hours of football, or, you know, you put in family time? How do you handle Saturday?
A little bit of both. A little recruiting, a little bit of that. A little family time. Hung out with the grandkids a little bit. So watched a bunch of football. So did some yard work. Actually got some things moved around the house a little bit. So it was good times.
How do you like having two byes in a season? Because obviously that's unusual.
I don't like it. I wish it was one. So
yeah, me too.
I'm really good. I'm really good with one. And it's just, you know, it's – I'm always – I've said this to – you guys 1,000 times, and I'll probably say it 1,000 more times, is I'm not in favor of a longer season for these kids, period. I'm not in favor of more games. I'm not in favor of two byes. I'm not. I'm just, let's 12 games is plenty, and potentially a championship game, and then a bowl game, and whatever comes out of those things is awesome, but 12 regular seasons is enough. It's 13 now with a bye, and all of a sudden it's 14. It's just academically, and for these kids to be able to do what they need to do, I would rather have one.
So the... I guess a lot of people would be assuming, well, the downtime in the middle of the season enables them to get healthy, and actually there is a little time for academics or to have a Friday night off and not be in the hotel with the team. Do you actually worry about that? Would you just rather have them in the routine?
Like I said, I think everybody would say, hey, let's have a bye right in the middle of the season. That doesn't work out when you have one bye. It doesn't work out sometimes when you have two byes. But for myself, it's just I like them in the flow of things. I like them to keep going, and let's keep grinding, and let's keep fighting. And, you know, ideally if it was my, hey, you're going to make the schedules and here you go, Gary Anderson, what do you want? I would say no byes. I would say let's play 12 weeks straight and go play and keep the kids in the mojo and keep them moving. There's just a lot of change of pace that takes place during byes. Some of that can be very positive, but I just as well keep them in a good spot and keep them grinding and moving through it. Sometimes even with one bye, you play two games and you have a bye. So it is what it is. I understand that, but you guys asked me, so I gave you my opinion.
You know, you look at that Nevada team, who obviously is your next opponent, and against San Jose, and San Jose is not bad this year. At least it appears to me they're a little bit better than they have been. So you look at Nevada, and they've got a quarterback who throws for over 350. They got a running back who runs for over 100. They got a receiver who catches over 100 yards in receiving. It looks like offensively, these guys are pretty good.
Yeah, they really are, and they started the other quarterback this last game, and they've won some big games with the other guys playing also. So they're efficient. They're a pistol offense, which is a little bit of a departure from the true read zone stuff. It's more downhill in the run game. Receivers made some big plays. They got off to a great start in the San Jose State game and made some big plays on offense and defense. So, you know, we'll have a work cut out for them. You look at the schedule, who they beat, how they've played. They've played well. They've had, you know, some scenarios where it hasn't gone their way. A lot of teams have had those scenarios at this point, but I think they're a tough-minded team. They play well. They bounced back last week and, you know, played very well and then won a tightly contested game. So we will have our work cut out for us. They're gifted at the wide receiver position. The running backs, we're very familiar with that young man. He's a very, very talented player, in our opinion. And the quarterback came in, the JC guy came in, and he did a nice job in his first start. So, you know, defensively, they're physical up front. They play the odd front. I think that their defensive tackles are very good players, and the inside linebackers, they fly to the football. So it'll be a great test. There's no doubt about it, which everyone we got left, these next seven are all going to be great tests for us on this team to see how we handle each week and then see how we handle them as a whole.
So you said they were tough-minded, and it seems to me that that's one thing that coaches are supposed to say about teams. You can't really get in trouble for saying it. It doesn't give away much of the game plan. It's a good thing to say. I guess that's why so many coaches say it. But I think it's actually true about Nevada. I'm looking at their scores here, and they've won three close games. They beat Purdue by a field goal. They beat San Jose by a field goal. And Weber State gave them a game, and that was a six-pointer. But they have gotten their doors blown off twice in Oregon, 77-6. And then Hawaii came into Reno and won 54-3. And yet they bounced back from that and win a close game. That you've followed college football probably longer and closer than I have, but that seems really unusual to get blown out that badly and yet be able to still have a winning record and to bounce back and win close games.
No doubt. I completely agree with that. And you look how they came back in the you know, you look at the Purdue game, and that game was 8 minutes left. It's been a couple weeks since I watched that, but they were down and had to make some great things happen, and they did to be able to come back and get that victory. So they've done it in and out. They've been on both sides of it, and like you just said, they have bounced back, and they found a way to recover if they had a bad week, and they found a way to, you know, consistently come back and play good football back-to-back weeks in some situations. So they're battlers, and their coaches are tough guys. You know, we know a bunch of the coaches on that staff, and they work hard. They take care of their business, and you know, they demand, I'm sure, that the kids practice and play hard, and they know what league they're in. And so you're correct in your evaluation, in my opinion.
We're at the midway point of the season now, and so a lot of teams we've seen, they have good things, they had bad things about their team. I wanted to address deficiencies, and just generally speaking, not specifically to your ball club, but if you have a deficiency in whether it's defensive line or whatever it might be, you know, obviously you can go out and you can recruit to make that better going into the next year. But what can you do during the actual season to make whatever deficiency in whatever unit you have better now?
Great question. In fact, just right out of the staff meeting, that's why I was a couple minutes late, that we were just discussing that and how do we get in a position. And we use that our bye week to be able to work some kids in some spots to give them some opportunities. But you come back after the weekend and you realize that you may get some kids back, you may not get some kids back, so you look to adjust. And it's potential position moves. That's the first thing with youthful players. Put them in a spot that it may not be the position that they're going to play their rest of their career, as far as we know right now as coaches, but it is a position where they can help us this year. We have that situation at safety, and so we'll be doing that. We'll look around and we'll see exactly how it is and where we need to go with a couple young men to let them position themselves to be in the depth at the safety position. Feel the exact same way. Move some linebackers around a little bit to get those inside linebackers there. So that's the first way. The second way is to simply identify and look at yourself as coaches and make sure that you're asking the kids to be able to do things that they can do physically and that they can do mentally. And quite frankly, it fits your personality and your personnel, your football team. And those are the two things we talked about this morning that are important for us to be able to, you know, establish some consistency at certain positions and also be preventative if we unfortunately suffer an injury at a spot to where, we need to be prepared to handle those injuries if they do come our way, to the best of our knowledge, I guess, for the coaching staff and for the players and everybody involved to get the best kids out there if something happens.
You know, with the bye week, you got a little extra time to gear up, and I'm curious how much you've had a chance to talk to Jay Hill and the Weber staff, because it seems like their game with Nevada was unusual. 19-13 is really low scoring. I mean, Nevada's playing 34-31, 41-38 games. What happened in that game to keep it low scoring, and how much of it can you replicate?
Well, I think, you know, we have – I talked to Jay quite a bit, obviously, and always have and always will. I think, number one, Weber has – they have a heck of a defense now. They're stout up front. They play hard. Their inside linebackers are really good players, and, you know, they've done some good things. And, you know, they stopped the run. They kept the quarterback a little bit off pace. We're facing a different quarterback now that than they were playing then. I think the game plan will not change overall. They're still going to be, like we talked about, the pistol team. But, you know, that communication is always good to talk with coaches when you have that opportunity. And, you know, I think we learned a lot at the LSU game with communicating with Aranda and with Bush and with Corey and their offense and defensive coaches on the LSU side. Obviously, we don't face each other again. So then you can really open up and say, hey, what did you like? And I think it helped them, and I think it helped us as we communicate. So that's I think if you're not doing that, you're doing a disservice to your program and to your kids if you're not reaching out to coaches that you trust that can help you with the opponent or, quite frankly, can help you with yourself after you've played them.
I've always been fascinated, no matter the sport, when a coach gets into a program, how he goes about building that program. And you've obviously built programs. You built Utah State the first time around. And when you do that, is there a specific area you look to strengthen first on a football team, or you try to go across the board?
Oh, I think one of our biggest things, and Jesus, like, you were in our staff meeting this morning. You're pretty impressive. So, you know, the overall for us is the toughness factor. And when you say that, again, that can be coach talk very, very clearly. It can be. But for us, we really want to make sure when we recruit, we're trying to recruit a young man that we think has the toughness and the ability to be able to handle our program from an academic standpoint, handle Cache Valley for exactly what it is, which we think is greatness, a great place to go to college and all that's involved, but it's not for everybody. And then on the football side of things, you got to be able to handle it. So I think that's important. Stamp on your program through the weight room, training room, all the way through. The other thing is just, positionally, you always want to do your best to, the difference makers are so important. I think as we recruit now, quite frankly, we have a better chance to find difference makers throughout the year, whether that be today somebody commits, whether that be the early signing day somebody signs, that be the second signing day somebody signs, or after the signing day with a young man that has a story or a transfer or whatever. I think we can find those skill players throughout the year. We need to make sure we build our line of scrimmages through the young kids and quality JC players as much as we can. That's not as easy for us to recruit those kids all year round. They're more the second signing period, the first signing period, and recruiting those kids now to stabilize our front and make sure we do a great job in state with those line of scrimmage players and developing those guys, because we do pride ourselves on being a developmental program. So that's, I would say those are two important things for us, establishing who we are.
How many high schools did your coaching staff visit on the bye week?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. A bunch, and a bunch of junior colleges. We hit the junior colleges pretty hard. And what's great for us is recruiting staff gets us to the point to where we have evaluated them. We know who they are. We've talked to them on the phone. We've communicated with them. We've seen their film. But we are so selective this year with our low numbers of young men that we can actually bring into our program. We're looking for difference makers, and if we're going to offer them, we deem them as a difference maker this year with this class, and that's whether they're a mission kid, that's whether they're a JC kid or a high school kid. So seeing them in person is so, so important. It's always a big part of the process, but seeing play a game live is so important. And there's some young men today that we watched that, there was discussion, yes, he fits us, he's the competitive edge we want. There's some kids that, no, he doesn't, he's too underdeveloped for this year's class, he's not in a position to be a difference maker for us, depending on the position that he's playing. So number of high schools, number of junior colleges, and it was great to get out in state and be able to see some young men and evaluate them too, so which is always a priority. So it was a good weekend as far as that goes.
Well, Gary, we appreciate a few minutes. You can go back to your staff meeting and share some more of PK's brilliant thoughts. And
I'm gonna bring him up next week. PK, get up here. I'll get you 6:30. We'll hang out, have a donut, and then 7 o'clock staff meeting starts. You good?
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever you need.
Okay.
Seriously, we'll do the show without him. If he gets to be inside your program one morning, he can come back with all kinds of knowledge. We'll do it.
That would be.
It's hard to get through a day without him, but we can do it. A week is too much.
We'll gain from his knowledge. You know that.
All right.
Yes. Hey, guys, have a wonderful week.
Okay.
Go Aggies.
Gary Anderson, Aggie head coach, coming up next. This guy sucks. I think we got an all-quarterback edition coming up.
I was thinking about that, too.
Holy cow, there were some quarterbacks who suck.
I agree.
All right, we'll get to that next. DJ and PK.
Take the Zone with you wherever you go.
Let's go.
Download the all-new Zone Sports Network app on your phone and get live streaming of the Zone as well as podcast editions of every show. From Salt Lake to Shanghai, Provo to Portugal, or Ogden to Oslo, wherever you go, we'll tag along.
Let's go.
Download the new Zone app by searching Zone Sports Network wherever you shop for apps. It's the Zone Sports Network app. From 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. And now,
really?
Your Rocky Mountain Chevy dealer's strong play of the weekend.
First pitch. And Correa lines it deep to right field. Judge is going back at the wall. Looking up. See you later. See you later. See you later. See you later. Astros even the series at a game apiece on the walk-off home run by Carlos Correa in the bottom of the 11th. 3-2. Astros win it.
There's a Chevy Strong play of the game. Astros walking it off. Know it today at 4:50. You can win fabulous prizes on The Big Show.
As the great philosopher Snoop Dogg once said,
"This guy sucks.
Like a sucker punch."
It's time to reward the losers in sports with another edition of This Guy Sucks.
You suck.
On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, it really sucked this weekend. Big picture and focus picture, same topic. Quarterbacks who are sucking or turning the ball over too much. Baker Mayfield, three more picks. That's an NFL high. 11 interceptions. PK, they're 2-4. If he could cut those in half.
This guy sucks.
I don't know that they'd be a playoff team. I don't know if they'd be a playoff team, but I bet they'd at least be in the hunt, which where the Browns have been would be a big step forward.
Okay, 2-4, I don't necessarily put you out of the hunt. We've seen that many times, but I get your point.
But to get back in the hunt, he's going to have to throw fewer picks going forward.
That's the thing about quarterbacks. I've decided, forget it. You just, nobody knows. I mean, these experts, certainly I don't know because I'm not an expert, but even these experts know. You know, Baker Mayfield goes number one. Is he going to be all that? Kyler Murray has a scintillating rally yesterday against the Falcons, and everybody's excited in the Valley, and then their defense gives up the touchdown. They miss the extra point, so the Falcons lose. And now I was ticked because I want to hear some Sun Devils today. Now I'm going to hear nothing but Cardinals all week, so forget that. But you just don't know, man. I thought, and I've watched a lot of college football over the years and a lot of Pac-10/12 football. And to me, Marcus Mariota was the best quarterback I've ever seen. And I go back to Elway and you name it. And he was the best quarterback I've ever seen at the college level. But yet he's not getting it done at the pros.
Do you think he was a pro-style guy, though? Because they thought he was more of a college guy. I'd have to adapt a little.
Sure.
You know, but to your point, Tom Brady's the GOAT, and he wasn't a full-time starter in Michigan.
But I mean, there's like been Elway, others who've made that transition. I never saw Steve Young play in college, but I'm guessing he ran around a little bit.
Yeah, you think?
You know,
you do make that, and I get it.
But obviously,
there
I saw
guys,
him play in the NFL, and he made the adjustment.
There are guys who make the adjustment.
Deshaun Watson's doing it right now.
He is.
Still a little early to anoint him to be all that.
But
it looks like he's on his way. Lamar Jackson looks okay. So I would have thought Mariota would be better now than where he is.
So another guy got to nominate for this guy sucks. 400 yards passing is a good game. Congratulations, Jameis Winston. But five interceptions? That's way too many. I get one. Maybe you can get by with two. When you get to the third one, you're in trouble. And five is just off the charts. Five. Way too many picks.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I was listening to some guys in the NFL Network over the weekend, yesterday actually, and they're talking about, well, maybe, you know, his time is being phased out because, you know, start giving you a factor in money. And then somebody compared, I forget who it was, I saw talking about Winston and Mariota going the way of Tannehill, where he's in the NFL, but he's going to have a spot in the NFL, but at no point he's ever going to be recognized as a big-time quarterback.
Right.
And being that's the, where the these guy. Guys are. That surprises me. You know, they were both high draft picks. I don't think Winston can get any higher, right? Well, Mariota went pretty high. Did he go top five?
I think he went 1-2.
Yeah. So you got those guys there not really doing it. You just – quarterback, man, I'm done trying to evaluate guys. It's like you never really know until they get in there.
So Jared Goff was killing it. I think we have to nominate him.
Now, sucked yesterday.
Congratulations, turnover
this
three.
This guy sucks.
But 13 of 24 for 78
yards. 78 yards? That's unbelievable. In the NFL with all the rules favoring the passing?
Exactly.
And you got 78 yards passing?
It's a good quarter. It's a horrific game.
That's a series.
Series.
For some of these dudes.
Well, there are series. They do throw the ball all the way down the field sometimes. But two
series
for sure. 78 yards in an NFL game, that can't happen.
That was a stunner.
And at the end of the game, and they probably would have lost anyway, but they're down 13. It's 20-7.
Dude wide open.
Yes. And it wasn't even close.
Right. You expect them to hit, I guess maybe you expect them to hit 80%, and we just happen to see the 20% that didn't happen. Maybe. It's the best I can come up with. That they're human, and sometimes they're going to screw up.
There's some story out there about when the, you know, the distance finder, the golfers use the little, like, spyglass binocular
range
thing?
Finder.
Range finder, right.
Yeah, the range.
So, I guess when these are, like, new or cutting edge or something, some guy's out with some technology, and he says to Steve Young, how far is that cone or whatever away, right? And Steve says, it's 48 yards. That's how an NFL quarterback, they don't think 40 or 50, not even 45 or 50. He says it's 48 yards away, and the guy puts whatever the technology is on it, and it was 48 and a half yards away. So when he misses somebody by 5 yards, and they still, I don't think they had the timeouts, I think only
well, they
two.
Would have needed an onside kick.
I think
kick
they needed an onside yeah, kick and another touchdown. So yeah. It's not like they were going to win the game, but it could have kept hope alive and prolonged it. And you just don't see quarterbacks miss guys.
Well, it's just indicative of the crappy game he had.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else you want to throw out there?
I've got one of the high school ranks.
We can't go high school.
We're dumping on high school kids?
It was the interception return. The guy catches the interception and goes the wrong way. Almost scored for the opposing team.
And his teammate tackles him
at the 10-yard line.
Wrong way.
Couldn't he have yelled?
You would think so, but he just
can't be heard amongst all the noise, the chaos.
He went 50 yards before his teammate caught him.
That was a nice shoestring tackle.
It was.
Saved a touchdown.
All right, DJ and PK, the question of the day. The Utes are flying high. The Cougs are down in the dumps. The Aggies need to beat the Broncos. But they don't even play the Broncos for a while, so. What else can you say? What else can you say, or is that just say it all right now? We'll get to that next. Stay with us.